First off, we're going to have a word of prayer before we go into a blessed word. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we just bless you and praise and thank you, Lord God, for this great gathering today and, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth and the blessedness of your word, Lord. And we thank you, O God, for giving understanding, enlightenment, and illumination, Lord, that we can, abide in those truths of that which you have given and done for us in the eternal realm. Now, Lord, bless your people today, these here, those that may be coming, whomsoever, those, Lord, far and wide over the internet, Lord, bless your word to each and every one as thou hast eternally decreed for that course in life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bible back to where we have been dealing from, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and as a context and a text, we are going to look at verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And we are going to read both from the King James Version and the Interlinear Greek text, those verses. Our pastor and his comments have really set the stage for this dissertation today. Amen. Our designated reader will be Ella Liveman. And we're going to look again at the gospel. Which gospel? What gospel? But a look at the gospel, which we call our gospel. Amen. If everyone has 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 8 and ending at verse 11, or say amen. Amen. All right, Ella Liveman, please read.
2 Timothy chapter 1, mm-hmm. beginning with the 8th verse,
mm-hmm.
King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
Be not thou therefore ashamed,
yes.
of the testimony of our Lord,
mm-hmm.
nor of me his prisoner,
yes.
but be thou a partaker of the afflictions,
yes.
of the gospel according to the power of God.
According to the power of God.
Verse 9. Who hath saved us?
God who hath saved us. God who hath saved us. Let that burn in your memory. It is God who hath saved us. We didn't go out and get saved. God is the one who saved us. Right? Read.
And called us with a holy calling.
Mm-hmm.
Not according to our works.
Not according to our works. He called us with a holy calling. Not. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, not according to our works.
But according to his own purpose.
But according to his own purpose. Bless Jesus. According to his own purpose and what?
And grace.
Which was given us
In Christ Jesus
when?
Before the world began.
Before creation, in eternity.
Thank
oh,
God.
Lord, hallelujah. How do so many ministries and ministers miss that? Verse 10, Elder.
But it's now.
All right, that was what God did in eternity in actualization. But is now what?
Made manifest. By the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
It's now being shown what the Lord did in his eternal workings for us. And it's now being made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What?
Who hath abolished death. And hath brought life and immortality.
There's a personal pronoun that go there of him abolishing death. That's death for a certain group or ones. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, who have abolished death and have brought life
and immortality, to light.
To light.
Through the gospel.
Through the gospel. Wonder which gospel was that?
Numbers.
Well, verse 11, fixing to tell you. If any give you a key ingredient in understanding what gospel he's talking about. Light and life through the gospel.
Whereunto?
The gospel whereunto, Paul says.
I am appointed.
I am appointed.
A preacher.
A preacher.
And an apostle.
And an apostle.
And a teacher.
And a teacher.
Of the Gentiles.
Of the Gentiles. Now, that couldn't just be any gospel.
Amen.
That had to be a specific,
yes,
distinct gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, Elder Liverman, read that, and I'm going to try to reserve comment from the interlineal Greek text. 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with the 8th verse,
mm-hmm,
in the interlinear Greek.
All right.
Not therefore,
mm-hmm,
be thou ashamed,
yes,
the testimony of the Lord of us,
mm-hmm,
nor me the prisoner of him.
Of him.
But suffer,
mm-hmm,
ill with the gospel according to power, mm-hmm, of God.
All right. Hallelujah. Yes?
Verse 9. Of the having saved us.
Of God, of the one having saved us. Uh-huh.
And having called.
And having called.
Calling with
calling
a holy.
With a holy.
Not according to the works of us.
Not according to the works of us.
But according to own purpose.
But according to his own purpose.
And grace.
And grace.
Given to us.
Given to us.
In Christ Jesus.
Where we abide in Christ Jesus.
Before times eternal.
Before the creation of time.
Have mercy.
Eternal. In eternity. Read on, Ella.
Oh, before times eternal.
Verse 10.
Verse 10. But manifest.
But manifested. Put where we can see it.
Mm-hmm. Now through.
Now through.
The appearance of the Savior of us.
The appearance of the Savior of us.
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Abrogating on one hand death.
Doing away with on the one hand death.
Bringing to light.
Bringing to light.
On the other life.
On the other life.
And in corruption.
And in corruption.
Through the gospel.
Good God Almighty. Through the gospel. Praise be Jesus.
Verse 11,
that wasn't...
Verse,
he didn't do it?
No.
Okay, all verse, right. Verse 11.
For which...
Through the gospel, for which...
Was appointed I...
Was appointed I...
A herald...
A herald...
And an apostle...
And an apostle...
And... A teacher...
A teacher. Praise be God. The Lord's people... Truly, truly need teaching. And with right and proper teaching, that will circumvent those verses that Pastor had read earlier about us being led astray with diverse doctrines and the like. All this earthly and worldly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. This first statement might shock you or cause you to draw up a little. But listen to the whole matter. It is a fact that while all the writings in the Bible are indeed true, it is an equal fact that those truths are not truth for you.
Amen.
Us that are in the present dispensation of grace until it is rightly divided, and each portion, each message, or each gospel, with each covenant, contract, testament, or agreement, they mean the same thing, are properly ascribed to each of the seven distinct or different dispensations. Mm-hmm. Dispensation being an economy, a house rule, or an administration.
Right.
Seven such that are outlined in the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And, this is one Pastor hit on, I wanted to get up for a minute. They're equally distinct constituents. Each dispensation has a distinct group or body of constituents for that particular contract, covenant agreement in that dispensation and the gospel of good news that goes along in that dispensation. Each dispensation has a distinct constituency of God's elect, chosen of that dispensation. Hallelujah. A constituency. They don't run from dispensation to dispensation. Every dispensation has three things. It has a federal head and the elect of that dispensation. It has its own distinct gospel of that dispensation. Praise God. And it has covenants or contracts that go with that dispensation alone. They don't travel from dispensation to dispensation. Now, I said that all the Bible is true, but it's not truth for you until it's rightly divided.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, let me give you an example. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter, God told Moses to tell and Aaron to tell the children of Israel on what their diet could be. Of earthly animals and of animals in the sea. One such animal that they could not eat was the swine. He's identified in the 11th chapter of Leviticus. He told Moses and Aaron to tell the children of Israel or the children of Jacob, not us as Gentiles. Now regarding those that are in the sea, he said, if it got fins and don't have scales, don't eat it. It's an abomination to you. So you catfish lovers. Yes. And back to the swine, we pork chop eaters, ham hock, smoked neck bones, honey baked ham. Amen. That would be forbidden for us to eat. Now, in the first chapter of Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse, Paul tells the Corinthian Gentiles and us as well that if it's sold in the meat market, you can eat it. Now, which one is true? On the one hand, they're both true. To the children of Israel, those animals would be an abomination unto them to eat. But on the other hand, to us who were not under the law, praise God, we could eat it all. And he only gave one direction, encouragement, that a lot of Gentiles were coming out of idolatry, and they had their animals sacrificed as unto idols. So some of them carried the stigma that this is something holy as they were brought over in believing on the Lord Jesus. They still carried that baggage of believing that if it's offered to an idol, it's something. And we carry a lot of baggage, amen, of things that we carry around that are not necessarily in line with who we are in Christ. But he said, if it offends your brother, then don't eat it for conscience sake. Not your conscience, conscience meaning to know within, but the conscience of that other one whom he calls the weak brother. The one that didn't think that he could go to it and eat it is the weak one. Praise God. So that's the only thing there. All right. Now, again, that was on the law. In the kingdom gospel, in Matthew 6, chapter, verses 14 and 15, our Lord Jesus said, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive them their trespasses, he will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. There were conditions there. They were under kingdom law. But in kingdom law, the Lord Jesus fulfilled all the conditions. That is why when he came, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. They were trusting in the law which they had broken betimes and could not keep. But he came to save them from their sin, saying that he was the Messiah and deliverer, amen, and that they should put their trust and their faith in him, which they did not do. And so he came preaching the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, whereby the kingdom would be set up on earth. The king was there, ready to set up the kingdom, but they rejected the king. So right now the kingdom is put on hold. But men and ministries today, preachers today, are still preaching that gospel which is put on hold, a kingdom gospel, and it got conditions in it. Hallelujah. Now, but in another portion of the Bible, you got the right to divide it.
That's right.
You can't just take the whole roll and say it's to you. It has to be right to divide it. In another portion of the Bible, in one of Paul's epistles, in the dispensation of grace, the covenant and contract is grace. The gospel is grace. The mystery. We find these words in Ephesians 4 and 32. In our gospel of grace. In our dispensation of grace. In our covenant, a contract, a testament of grace. No conditions. Listen to it. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:32, and being ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving is in the present, passive, middle participle. It's a verb that describes. You are forgiving. You are forgiving. But the passive voice is there. You are being caused to forgive.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ,
right,
not for Christ's sake, as the King James have it, as God in Christ, where we truly abide, forgave or hath already forgiven you. No conditions. We forgive because we have been forgiven, and we are enabled to do it by the passive voice. So you got to know where you're reading.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know what's for your learning, which carries some benefits, as we see God in his merciful dealings with his elect or his chosen from other dispensations, under other contracts or covenants, through messages of other gospels, as opposed to what portion is to us, not just for us. They are our information, our directives. If we can't differentiate, if we don't know the difference, hallelujah, then we will be led off and taken up with wrong information. So we remember this. If you get wrong information, it will produce wrong thoughts. Sure will. Wrong thoughts will produce wrong actions, which came from wrong conclusions. Because you're reading in the wrong place, you're ascribing something to you which is not to you, but for your learning. We got to know the difference. And then we surely won't know if we're reading wrong information as though it's our direct information to follow. Then we won't know, we surely won't know who we are. We won't know how we became. We won't know who we belong to. We think we are of ourselves, in ourselves, and by ourselves. And God help us with ourselves. Then we surely won't know, praise God, where we truly are. We abide according to our gospel in Christ, not coming, but right now. We won't know what we truly have. We're trying to reach and grab and sustain here on earth. But our gospel tells us we have the abundance of riches that God has. We are heirs of God and co-heirs of that which belong to Christ. We have it all. We won't know how much we truly have. We have it all. We won't know when did we get it. We'll think we got it when we worked hard on the job, and it's physical. But ours, hallelujah, is not physical. We are just passing through here to use these things. But all of our blessings, according to Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse, are spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, where we abide right now. Not in this, but in the new man, in the spirit man, hallelujah, in our eternal spirit. We won't know if we'll lose it, what we got. We don't know what we are doing here if we're not reading in the right place. We'll think that God just placed us here under Adam, and in time we try to seek him and then get saved, hopefully, and maybe we'll go to heaven. But in our gospel, we'll find, in which you will see when I get back to my text, that we were always his. We were eternally in Christ, where we are right now, according to the eternal spirit. And God placed us in time, in creation, in a physical environment for testimony, for ultimately him getting the glory from the testimony that he's caused in each of our course while we here. Amen. We won't have it right. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Unless we're reading in the right place and ascribing the right information unto us that belong to us. Amen. We won't know when we're leaving.
That's right.
Whenever God decrees. That's the answer to that. Praise God. Not 1 minute sooner. Not 1 minute later, whenever God decrees. We won't know how we should view the environment around us. We won't know whether to can all we can, get all we can all we got. We won't know whether we got to grab, depend on 401ks, 401bs, money saved, pensions, Social Security, or that our trust is to be wholly, totally in the Lord. Praise God. God, people are going to wake up in a minute. You let a few more banks close. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of us going to lose hope. I'm talking about God's people on both sides of this campaign and election. God's people on both sides of it. Depending on who gets elected in November, one side of God's people going to say, oh, my God, what we going to do now? If the other guy get elected, the other side going to say, oh, man. What we going to do now? But our ultimate hope is in God. We won't know where our hope should be. Our confidence should be focused. We won't know that this, what we see around us, is this as good as it gets? We won't know it. We won't know, amen, if this is my best life now, unless we got the right information. If we got a plenty, we'll say, oh, come on with more years and more money and more good life. But if we poor and struggling and without, Hallelujah. We want to understand that we can enjoy Jesus right here, right now, being content with what things as we have. Paul and Silas was in jail. They were not on a picnic when they prayed and praised and sang praises unto God. Amen. They were in jail. But their minds were focused on the information that the Lord had given them, so they understood that that was God's doing. Now, to our context, 2 Timothy, we're going to begin at the 8th verse. I'm just going to read casually mostly through the 8th verse because I've dealt with that. And down through the 9th and 10th verse. Not therefore ashamed, Paul writes to Timothy, of the testimony. The testimony is the declaration that Paul had received from the resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus and had transferred to Timothy in teaching him. Amen. Don't you be ashamed of that. Last time we were before you, we tried to show you that there's a difference in the Gospels. The main ones we showed you last time were the kingdom and the grace gospel. When the brethren came down from the apostles to Jerusalem, where Paul and were preaching and teaching the Gentiles, telling them that they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And Paul and Barnabas came upon them, and the Bible said they had no small disputation. So they went back up to Jerusalem before the elders and the apostles and got the matter straight. And the consensus was, amen, that the brethren from Jerusalem, the Jews, would take the kingdom gospel message, the kingdom law message to the Jews, the circumcision. Right, right. And that they gave Paul and Silas went with him. They gave him the right hands of the fellowship to them and said, you all go on with that message to the Gentiles. Two separate messages. So that is the message that Paul is talking about right now. Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony or the declaration or the witness of the Lord of us. And he was talking about the witness of the gospel of the grace of God that was given to him, not to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Nor of me, the prisoner of him, but rather suffer ill with the good news or this good news. Wherever, whatever condition, whatever circumstance, he's telling Timothy to suffer ill with it as he had certainly been an example, amen, of the things he had suffered because of this gospel. Praise God. If the Lord, I want to say to you today, I want to extract from this. If the Lord causes us to suffer lack, to suffer want, which is the same thing, to suffer in our bodies, to suffer, amen, in our environment. It is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is God's will in Christ concerning you. Paul, everywhere he went, he was hounded, badgered, and tried to be killed everywhere he went. And so he's telling this young minister, suffer ill with that good news according to the power of God. The power of God, the one, verse 9, having saved us. Saints of God, you didn't get saved in the time and the year that you think you got saved. You didn't. If you think you did, you were reading from the wrong portion for that information. You were probably reading from the kingdom gospels, amen, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or you were probably reading from the Old Testament. You have always been in Christ. The one having saved us is in the aorist tense. The aorist tense. Praise God. And an aorist tense means a past completed action. It's completed. It's done. It was done in eternity. You were always the Lord's. You were never in any jeopardy of being eternally lost. Never. I know you didn't know it. I didn't either. You were never in and are never. If you are in Christ Jesus, And I don't mean if to doubt anyone's salvation, but since you're in Christ Jesus, you have never been in any real detriment. Praise God. The one having saved us and also calling in the calling set us apart. The call itself, it set us apart of what we call sanctified us. And that sanctification was not according to, not corresponding to, and not with reference to our works. I know you've been doing the best you can. You've been trying and trying daily. But it was not according to what you did that you were saved. You were saved in the eternal realm, and what you did was as a consequence of who you are in Christ. Praise God. I know many of our mothers and our senior sisters around here in their upbringing, if they tried to, and brethren, if they tried to go out and do something wrong, like maybe one or two others in the area, neighborhood, praise God, they were severely reprimanded for it. And they were probably told something on the order of, I don't care what they are doing, you not going to do it because of who you are. They might not have said those words, but that's what they meant. They received, amen, that teaching. So if we do well, we are not who we are because of what we do. We are caused to do what we do or do well because of who we are. We belong to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not according to the works of us, but rather according to his own purpose. And that brings me to a word that I want to open up a little bit. According to his own purpose and grace. Purpose. Purpose means intention or aim. The intention or purpose of God in everything. Get this. The intention, the aim, and God don't miss aim. And he is never disappointed. He is the almighty, everlasting God who is our Father. Not according to the flesh, but according to the eternal spirit. You know who your dad was according to the flesh. God is our eternal Father according to the spirit. Everything is purpose driven. Everything that goes down in a child of God's life is purpose driven. Being up as well as being down. Having enough are not having enough seemingly. It's purpose driven. Everything is underlined to magnify God's eternal glory. Yes. What you go through, what happens along the way in the course that God designed for you, everything, praise God, is to design to magnify his glory. God purpose is the intention and the aim. And he does everything according to his own perfect pleasing will. If it please him, that's what will manifest. It's already done. But it will manifest if it's in God's will. According to his own purpose. And grace. And grace. You are in the grace dispensation. You are under the grace contract. The grace of God, no merit, that was given us in Christ Jesus before time, eternal. Given us in Christ before time, eternal. But you got to read the right place to get the right information. Verse 10. Made known or revealed, but now this information, Elder Liverman, I want you to get Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Yes, we can go to the Greek. according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before time eternal. Before time, times eternal. Praise God. Now I want you to see, hallelujah, these eternal workings of God on your behalf. We're going to corroborate, but we're going to corroborate in our gospel. Before times, eternal. It didn't just happen, sister and brother. It was before time in the eternal realm. Yeah. Elderman, you got that?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read it from the Greek. In millennial.
Ephesians chapter 3.
Beginning verse 1.
Verse 1.
Hallelujah.
Of this by reason of I.
Of this by reason of I.
Paul the prisoner of Christ.
Paul
Jesus,
the prisoner of Christ Jesus.
On behalf of you.
On behalf of you.
The nations.
The nations or you Gentiles. Uh-huh.
Verse 2. If indeed you heard.
If indeed you've heard.
The stewardship.
The stewardship, the dispensation.
Of the grace of God.
Of the grace of God.
Given to me.
Given to me.
For you.
For you.
That here, by way of revelation.
That by way of revelation.
Was made known.
Was made known.
To me the mystery.
To me the mystery.
As I previously wrote.
As I previously wrote.
In brief.
In brief. If you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God that was given to Paul, it wasn't given to the other brethren. It is the gospel. Now, El, I want you to hold that. I want to prove this up one more time. I want to prove this up one more time. It is the gospel. It is the diet. It is the message for us that are in Christ Jesus.
Thank God.
You can't just go on any message. If a person, if a preacher, if a man, if a ministry is not preaching the gospel of the grace of God, he is not preaching the gospel for this dispensation.
That's right.
I don't care who he is.
That's right. Preach it. That's
right. Elderman, go to 1 Timothy. We're going to hold that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. There is no wiggle room here. Amen. Let grace be grace, let kingdom be kingdom, and let law be law. We are under grace. Hallelujah. If he's not preaching the gospel of the grace of God, he is not preaching the gospel for this dispensation. You say, well, oh my God, is he lost? Are they lost? This is where knowledge come in. Our gospel tells us that God saved us according to purpose and grace given us before time eternal. So then, no, they are not necessarily lost unless they don't belong to Christ. That's the only way they can be lost. You were saved in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. You can be wrong as two left shoes in your ministering and yet be a child of God because you are saved. Same way, you cannot make it here to repent or to do good works like the baby that's aborted or stillborn. But yet, if you're chosen in eternity, you are already saved, amen, in eternity. Coming here is just manifestation of testimony. Hallelujah. If you save in eternity, what coming here, being baptized or speaking in tongues got to do with the price of tea in China?
I hear you.
It has nothing to do with, it has no effect on your salvation one way or the other, for or against.
Amen.
If you're mentally incompetent, if you were saved before the foundation of the world, what coming here, not being able to comprehend the gospel, got to do with anything?
Amen.
The gospel is for testimony to manifest some of those whom God has eternally chosen. Everybody don't hear it. Everybody don't make it here to hear it. The aborted child, the stiff, they don't make it here to hear it. Saints, we got to know where we're reading from. Elder Liverman, do you have 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3? Read that.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3,
uh-huh.
Interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
As I besought thee to remain...
Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the gospel. As I besought thee to remain what?
As I besought thee to remain in Ephesus...
In Ephesus...
Going into Macedonia.
Going into Macedonia.
In order that thou mightest charge.
Now, this is one of the reasons he left Timothy there. That you might charge, that you might command what?
Certain persons not to teach differently.
Not to teach differently.
Right.
Under Paul was given the revelation of the mystery. The standard was set in his ministry. And he told Timothy, you stay here and charge, command anybody that's teaching not to teach differently from what I have taught. Praise God. You don't go all over the Bible, run in Exodus and grab something there. Run in Genesis and see what's happening over there. Run back to Habakkuk and get something out of there. Run to Malachi and tell the folk that bring all ye your tithes into the storehouse. We are grace givers. What do we have to do with Malachi? That's information for Israel.
That's right.
It's different teaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Ella, one more. 2 Timothy. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. One more. 2 Timothy chapter 2, mm-hmm. verses 1 through 4. And we'll read that from the interlinear also, Elder.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Interlinear Greek text.
Yes, sir.
Thou therefore, child of me.
Thou therefore, child of me.
Be empowered by the grace.
Oh, hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be empowered by the grace where you are. In Christ Jesus. I know you're walking around here in 2008, August the 3rd, but that's according to manifestation. You are truly, the true you, the eternal you, the abiding you is in Christ Jesus all eternity. Amen. And remember, you can't say it must have happened a million or 2 million years. There's no time in eternity. We were in Christ Jesus in eternity, period. We are manifested in time according to the flesh to give earth conscious. All right, read on, Elder.
What things thou heardest?
What things thou heardest
from me?
Uh huh.
Through many witnesses.
What you heard from me, mm-hmm. And folk know what you heard from me.
Amen.
Through many witnesses. What you heard from me. What you heard me preach. I preach that we were saved by God, called, amen, according to his purpose and grace, and that in Christ Jesus before time eternal. If you heard it from me, preach it. Don't go in Roman telling somebody and taking it out of context and out of the grammatical distinctions there. And telling somebody that they got to believe. Those are aorist tenses there. You believe because God has chosen you and decreed for you to believe.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll never believe. Preach that. That's what we want to hear everywhere.
Right.
But we hardly hear it. We hardly hear it.
That's right.
All right. Read on, Elder.
Okay.
What you heard from me through many witnesses.
That heard is from me through many witnesses. These commit to faithful men.
And don't only preach it yourself, Tim, but the same or these same truths commit to faithful men. What?
Who competent?
Who are competent? Got to learn it first.
Will be also others to teach.
Will be also others to teach. All right. And what else? No, we're going to stop there. Praise God. Now, let me say this. In order to preach and to get what you're supposed to get out of the Word of God, you have got to exegete the Scriptures. The King James Bible is just an interpretation, amen, of their spin on what the scripture was saying. But you have got to exegete the scriptures to find out, are you reading what you think you're reading, so that you can be doing what you ought to be doing and thinking what you ought to be thinking and assessing things as you ought to be assessing them. If you don't exegete, you won't be able to do that. You can't run anywhere and grab anybody's message. You got to go, praise God, that will, the one that was delivered to you, and then you got to exegete it to see if it's saying what they say it that it's saying. Now look at exegesis. Exegesis is basically literary interpretation. But scriptural exegesis is a different spin. You take ek in the Greek is ek. In English, you've got to go into this Bible. It's just like the X. Exhale, blow out. Exhume, dig up out. Exaggerate, tell out of the ordinary. Amen. Exit, go out. Exegete, dig out the literal meaning of the Word of God. Contextually, up a little, down a little. Grammatically, go to the Greek grammar. You got to do it because King James did it and put their own spin on it. They called present tense, future tense. Future tense, present tense. They called present tense, past tense, and it was an aorist tense. Amen. They said, we are baptized in Christ Jesus, when exegesis showed us that we were baptized in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. They say that we got to believe on the Lord, and exegesis shows us that we are believing because we have been decreed to believe. Glory to God. Back to our scripture. But now made known. And the scriptures will lead you. They are very consistent. There's no a kinship here with the law. This is grace. They are mutually exclusive. They don't come together. They don't complement one another. This is grace. This eternal inheritance is now made known by the appearing of the Savior of us,
yes,
having abolished death or rendered death ineffective for us indeed.
Oh, Lord.
Death can't do nothing with you. Absent from the body, close your eyes in the thing that we call death equals present with the Lord. Absent from the body equals present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No interim. No go somewhere and wait and see how the outcome. You know how we see on television stories and whatnot. He down here waiting and they lying and have they called you yet? No. None of that foolishness. But absent from the body equals present with the Lord.
Oh,
hallelujah. It's now made known what God had done for us. Through the appearing or manifesting of the Lord Jesus Christ, who having abolished or rendered ineffective, on the one hand, the death.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, he rendered death ineffective for us.
Mm-hmm.
But brought to light or manifested on the other hand,
mm-hmm,
our life and immortality through the gospel or the good news. And that was only done in the gospel of the grace of God. Saints of God, right now we realize in this existence being finite, that we are finite. That means limited. But when we are translated or transferred out of this arena, this fleshly arena, out of this body, we will realize infiniteness. That is unlimitedness. Remember, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ. You can't deal with that in finiteness. Hallelujah. We're on one small planet, the earth, which can hardly be seen in our solar system. And then our solar system can hardly be seen in the galaxy, which is the Milky Way. Praise God. And then you got the universe where the Milky Way can hardly be seen. Yeah. High in the world, and all creation is in God. Yeah. How can finiteness deal with infiniteness? Hallelujah. Out of here, infinite. While we here, finite, limited. But one day, hallelujah, the Lord will snatch us out of here, take us out of here. Amen. You'll be translated right smack into the presence of the Lord. And you'll realize infiniteness. You won't have no limitations. Don't worry about the cravings you have now. They won't mean nothing in another sphere. Don't worry about the weaknesses you have now. They won't be anything in the next sphere. Praise God. Don't worry about the slip-ups. They won't mean nothing in the next year. Praise God. The things that bug and plague us now, they have no place in the eternal sphere.
That's right. I hear you.
Indeed, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
That's right.
The gospel in or into which Paul said, I was appointed a preacher. Not any gospel. Not the good news to Adam. Right. Not the good news to Noah. Not the good news to Abraham. Not the good news to Israel. Not the good news to those when the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, and the 12 disciples came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the good news into which Paul was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. It matters where you read. It matters whether you rightly divide the word of God or not. It's one gospel for us.
That's right.
It tells us the whole scope, who we are, whence we were, when we were eternally. It tells us what we can expect. We can expect glorification in Christ.
Amen.
It tells us how to deal with the things around us. Treat them as a loose garment. Hallelujah. It tells us what if things go badly in our mind for us. It tells us you have eternal blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. It tells you right here is just for testimony. It tells you that everything that you go through or going through or might go through as a matter of your course is for your ultimate praise of God and His glory. It tells you, praise God, no matter how much or how little you know. If you know a lot, you'll praise God that for letting you know that it wasn't about you.
Amen.
If you know a little, you'll praise God for telling that though I didn't know nothing, I was yours anyhow.
Amen.
Praise be God. Yeah, let you know, hallelujah,
wow,
that even though you didn't have much as your neighbor, your friend, the other family members, you still belong to Him. You possess all things. All creation is in God.
Amen.
And we are in Christ in God.
Amen.
It's set, it's fixed, it's good, it's glorious, and it's eternal in the heavens. God bless you.
Hallelujah.